Amen. Let's go to John 3. Let's jump right in. And when we get there, we'll read verses 16 and 17 together. John chapter 3. Then we'll go to John chapter 13. Read verses 34 and 35 together. Both in the King James. Are you there? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This morning I had to send a Facebook message to one of our children, and I had to let her know that even though, you know, her actions may have been questionable, our love for her has not changed. You know, just have to just put it out there and just let folks know. Yeah, in the natural, you know, you may well grab them, act like you're killing a chicken, you know. But really what it all comes down to is person had an error in judgment for whatever reason, whether it was on purpose or not. And as the more I thought about it, I began to realize, who am I to determine whether or not it was intentional? Because doing so puts me in the position of judge. And I am not anybody's judge. Matter of fact, if I'm going to judge anybody, it needs to be me. Okay. So we need to make sure that regardless of whatever someone does, we have not been sent here to condemn. We've been sent here so that our actions will lead someone to Christ. Okay? Sunday, we talked about praising God in spite of the circumstances. And we had a good time in doing so. That's fine. It's good that we had a good time as long as we learned some things in the process. Otherwise, all we did was just have a good time. Okay? But we found out that when we praise, we're saying three things. We're saying that we are acknowledging that we are glad that God is God. And if you don't know if you can be glad about that, just think the person sitting next to you could be God. Right? You know, it's also a way that we bring glory to God's name through praise. Praise is an indicator that we believe God without reservation. That's so important. Because if you remember the scriptures in Mark, it says if you believe in your and not doubt in your heart. Well, if you can't believe God without reservation, you can't operate in faith. And not operating in faith, one thing that Jeremy and Pastor Ed and I talked about, you don't have a faith account, you have a doubt account. And you start drawing from that doubt account just because you don't choose to believe God without reservation. And lastly, our praise demonstrates our loyalty to God and to being a citizen of his kingdom. Then we looked at John 15. Why don't you turn there? I'm going to share it in the Amplified Bible. Because we all found out something a little differently about praise. In verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. And I asked the question, I said, how many of us are in him? And everybody raised their hand. Is that still the case? Okay, we're all still in him. Okay. Well, we went to Hebrews 13, and we found out that it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And we said, whoa, wait a minute. You mean the praise that we allow to come over our lips is considered fruit? And we realize that if we're not praising with our lips, we're not bearing fruit. And we don't want to ever get cut off. So we have to just make some changes and make sure that everything that comes out of our mouths is good fruit. The Amplified says, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. And the key in that is, and at all times, no matter what we're going through, and we honed in on, God said that he would give the desire, that he would work all things together for your good, for those who do what? Love God and are the called according to his purpose. So we said, if you can't hold on to any other scripture, you can hold on to that one, regardless of what you're going through. And since the Bible says if there be any praise, think on those things. Well, all you have to do is just keep thinking, I know this looks bad, it looks like I'm going under, but God said he's going to work all things together for my good, so you just allow praise to proceed out of your mouth, even though it looks like you're crazy praising God in those circumstances. But you believe without reservation that he's going to work all things together for your good, so you can afford to praise him. And really, you can't afford not to. Okay. But last night, when I woke up, you know, we left here and we went and got some pretty good Indian cuisine. I mean, when it's that good, it's not food. It's cuisine. And then something happened to me. It had the Thanksgiving effect. I ate the food, sat down, and thoroughly examined the inside of my eyelids. Okay. But then when you wake up, it's about 20 minutes of one, you're not sleepy. Okay. And so I said, well, this is a good time, Lord, you know, that you can start letting me know, you know, we do have service tomorrow. What do you want to say? And he told me to go to 1 Peter. So let's go there. 1 Peter 2. And as he often does, he just surprised me with where he took me. It's always good to be surprised by God. He's never going to give you any bad surprises. I'm going to start reading from verse 1, work our way down to verse 9. I'm in the King James. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. That's a whole message in itself. Okay. But you'll see how all of it is related to praise. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. Everybody said, that's not talking about me. Okay. All right, but verse 9 is. Okay. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? That in itself is significant, because we have been chosen by God, chosen to show forth what? The praises of him. I started thinking about that. And I started wondering, what does he mean, the praises of him? Are we supposed to, you know, is it songs and adulations that we're supposed to open our mouths and let loose? Well, in the Message Bible, it says, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people. Listen to this. God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him and to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. So wait a minute. One verse said the praises. And this one is alluding to something entirely different in terms of a definition of praises. This is telling me that praises also mean there's some things that I have to do. That praises are also an action. Praises are also part of a lifestyle. It's not just me singing. It's not just me verbalizing. But it's me doing some things is also a form of me praising God. The King James, again, it says that you should show forth the praises of him. See, that's referencing an action. So naturally, me being me, I go to the concordance and I look up praise, and it says a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action. And action. That's praise when it's used in that verse. Now, praise has other meanings in other verses, but when you look up in the concordance, praise used in that verse in 1 Peter 2:9, it means a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action. Any particular moral excellence as modesty and purity. So in other words, the verse is telling us that our actions, our behavior is just as much a praise to God as our words. That our actions. Well, when you start thinking about it in that light, it makes you think, I have to pay more attention to what I'm doing. Let me read this in a few other verses. The Amplified Bible says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfection of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The Phillips translation says, it is for you now to demonstrate the goodness of him who has called you. For you now to demonstrate the goodness. The Living Bible makes it simple. It says, all this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. See, it's not just praising, it's not just saying something. It's doing something. What's something? What God has called us all to do. It's a form of praise to him. It's an outward demonstration of praise, just like you raising your voices in praise. And when you think about it, it makes sense. How would it look you walk around praising God and speaking badly to your brother or sister in Christ? You know, that's fresh and salt water coming out of the same fountain. The Bible says, how can these things must not be? So if we're going to speak praise, we need to act praise. And everything that we do should be praiseworthy. Because if it's not praiseworthy, guess what? It's not praise. It's not giving God glory. It's not demonstrating that we're glad that God is God. It's not demonstrating that we believe in him without reservation. It's not demonstrating that we're glad to be part of his kingdom. You know, it's not demonstrating those things. The Bible says that Enoch had a testimony, and his testimony was that he pleased God. Well, I looked up testimony. It means evidence in support of a fact or a statement of proof. So if you're going to demonstrate the goodness of God, there needs to be some proof. Evident in our lives that support our saying, God is good. We think about those things. You believe God for an apartment or a home. And you go there and you tell the owner or you tell the landlord that, you know, God showed you this home. We don't have any problem saying that. You know, this is my house. God told me this is my house. We get there, we march around it seven times. We do all of those things. This is my house. But then, now you get 1 month behind in your rent. 2 months behind in your rent. 3 months behind in your rent. Don't worry, God's going to supply you 4 months behind. You know. What is the landlord thinking now? Not just about you, but about this God you keep talking about. Well, maybe your rent's fine. Pay all your rent early. Pay a year in advance. God's blessed you so much. But they observe you coming home sometimes with someone that's not your spouse. And they leave in the morning. And you see them say, praise God. God is good. And they start looking at you. You get going to work. You're going to get on the subway. And you're late. And that door is closing. And out of your peripheral vision, you see someone else vying for to get in through that door. And you know only one of you is going to make it. Yeah, I used to ride the subway trains. So you get close to the door, and you give them the old elbow shiv, and you're in. And you get in, and what's the first words out of your mouth? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just knock someone down on the platform, but thank you, Jesus. You know? Lord knows I can't be late again. You ever think about getting up 15 minutes earlier? Okay. But how is that demonstrating the goodness of God? How is that evidence and proof? So we have to understand that how we conduct ourselves in our everyday, ordinary lives, our sleeping, eating, drinking, going to work, normal life, the one that God said to place on an perform as an offering. How are we going to do that if we're not mindful as to how we're conducting ourselves as a chosen generation? As a royal priesthood who said we're supposed to show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Folks, we have to do a better job with how we conduct ourselves and how we conduct our business. But we're going to continue reading because there's so much in 1 Peter. When you get the time, you want to read it. You know, and you can read it in several different translations. We're not going to do that tonight. But I'm going to share some verses in 1 Peter 2 and 3. Okay. The Amplified Bible. I was already into Amplified Bible in 1 Peter 2. I can pick up at verse 11. It said, "Beloved, I implore you, as aliens and strangers and exiles in this world, to abstain." What does abstain mean? Stay away from. That's right. "The sensual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature, that wage war against the souls." Why? You're a holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. That doesn't show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So He's giving us a warning, saying, stay away from it. See, I found out that there's a reason when God says stay away, when He says run, run. Okay? Really? I don't have to run. This isn't going to catch me. Oh, no. He said flee fornication. No, I don't have to flee. Right. Why did He say run from it? Because if it catches you, it will overpower you. And so what instruction did God give because of it? Flee. Okay. Get away from it quickly. All right. Verse 12. "Conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles." Conduct yourselves honorably, properly, and righteously. Lighten up on that pedal. Handle your business affairs properly in a manner that brings glory and honor to God. I mean, just looking at it naturally, if you owe someone, guess what? It's not going away. And just because you haven't heard from them for a few years doesn't mean you're not going to get a letter from the sheriff in the mail. Okay. These are practical things, but as a chosen generation, none of these things should be issues with us. We should be the examples. This is how you live your life. This is how you conduct your life. This is how you do business. Someone makes it in the restaurant yesterday, took the time to order, said to the person, okay, I have four items, right? Four entrees? Yes, four entrees. Okay, good. I get home, three entrees. Okay. Now, they only charged me for three, so I didn't have to go back out. But I called him, and he said, I'm so sorry, you did tell me that. He said, but he just didn't put it in. I said, well, let me just check. If my wife doesn't want it, no big deal. I'm not coming back tonight. He said, no, the food here is fine. I was like, glory to God, I don't have to go back out. Like in that Cosby episode with Thanksgiving, kept going to the store. Cold as was like, I'm going to go back out there. But it says, conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may, by witnessing your good deeds, come to glorify God in the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you wanderers as a pastor or a shepherd looks over his flock. Now here's one where we all have issues with it sometime. Be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord. Be submissive to every. See, we forget that even means the person controlling the lines at the movie theater. He's in authority. The movie starts at 1. You come busting through at 2 minutes to 1 and want to come through the line. He said, whoa, just, you know, no, the movie's going to start. Well, you knew it was at 1 o'clock. when you left late. But he's a person in authority. And it says, be submissive. Why do I have to be submissive to him? Because God said so. Is that a good enough reason? It should be. But it says whether, let me find it, I just over, here we go. Whether it be to the emperor as supreme, we don't have an emperor, we have a president, and we have elected and appointed officials. Or to governors as sent by him to bring vengeance, punishment, justice to those who do wrong, and to encourage those who do good service. For it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good and honest lives should silence, muzzle, gag the ignorant charges and ill-formed criticisms of foolish people. Just by doing what's right. We try and get there by going word for word, toe to toe. I got to get them to see this. They got to get this point of view. No, just live right. They'll get it. And then God will get the glory. You're going to see that a little more when we get to 1 Peter 3 and it starts talking about marriage stuff. It says, verse 16, live as free people, yet without employing your freedom as a pretext for wickedness. But live at all times as servants of God. Why? It brings him praise. It shows everyone, it demonstrates everyone, you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And one thing that I found out is you never know who's watching you. I never see anyone that I know until after something happens. You have, you know, something happens, you're at the checkout line, and you're talking with the cashier, and it's all over, and you stop, and you turn around like, hey, how you doing? I didn't know you were there. And you know how I feel about that. You go off on the cashier, and then they come to church, and they see you sitting in here. And they're like, wait a minute. I remember that face. And those words were not as sweet as I hear now. And they will make a judgment on this entire place just because of what they see one member do. Because they will say, they go to that church. Yeah, that's the way those people are. We can't have that said about our Father. And we're his representatives. It says, show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God. Honor the emperor. Honor the president. Don't get sucked in and let negative words come out of your mouth because of everything that's coming out about this health care reform. Bible tells us, honor the emperor. Honor the king. All of you teachers, watch what you say about the Department of Education, even though they've been making, well, let's just say, some questionable choices about curriculum. Honor the emperor. Honor the king. Honor the chancellor. Okay? And watch what God does. Because you're doing things his way. One of the things that I found, folks, that when you choose not to dishonor, you become all worked up. Your stomach gets tied up in knots. The other person just looks at you like you have four heads. But you're just in a roar when if you would just honor, you'd be able to chill. But it's like we have to release these words because what they're doing isn't right. Well, God knows it isn't right. But did you ever stop to think and say, Father, this isn't right. I pray that this person's ears become sensitive to your words and that they will see that this isn't right and they'll make different choices. Do we ever stop to do that? No, we get in a roar. We get together. We call for, we want this person removed from office and that person removed from office. And I started thinking about that. Just imagine if because what we did, God said, oh, I'm removing them. I mean, he did that one time. He removed everybody except one family. Okay. I don't want to find myself in that position. Well, I won't because he said he wouldn't. Well, he said he wouldn't do it again by water. Okay. It says, you who are household servants, or you can say employees, be submissive to your masters with all proper respect. Why did you highlight proper? Well, we just want to make sure you understand, not when they're asking you to do things that are indecent or immoral. Right? With all proper respect. Not only to those who are kind and considerate and reasonable, but also to those who are surly, overbearing, unjust, and crooked. Why? It gives God praise. It demonstrates what God has done in your life. And by doing that, it will win them over. Let's jump down to move over to chapter 3. Yeah, I think a lot about marriages and divorce rate and, you know, why people tend more to want to live together and supposed to get married. And I've just come to the conclusion that, yeah, everything is motivated by the devil, but these folks are watching marriages that are in distress. And they're observing some things that are causing certain attitudes to form. So I just believe that when God's people get it, and we start living like what I'm about to read, all that other stuff will go away through attrition. Because folks will realize, hey, wait a minute. I didn't know marriage was like this. Look what it says. In like manner, means, you know, just like what it was talking about in the verse in the chapter before, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, how many of you knew being submissive to your husbands was a form of giving praise to God? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's okay. I didn't think of it that way either. Yeah, and you have to ask yourself, would you have handled that situation differently if you realized that? You know, that's the question. But it says, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent upon them. And adapt yourselves to them so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. I thought it was interesting that it said specifically, not by discussion. I mean, we can't start telling people, you got to do this and you need to do that. God is saying, that doesn't work. He's telling us, that doesn't work. How do you do it? By the way you live your lives. You live your lives of praise to me, it'll win them over. Says, when they, meaning your husbands, observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes, to respect, defer, to revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Let not yours be the merely external adoring with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes. Say, no, don't get all dressed up, try and change his mind. That's all that's saying, okay? Four, thank you. But let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious. Ladies, when you live your life in that kind of praise to God, we don't have a choice. God is telling you right now, this is the way. When you live like that, you will get the reaction that you desire. But it can't be superficial. It has to be real, and it needs to be directed to God, not a person. Because they'll see that reverence to God. In the same way, I drop down to verse 7. You married men should live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace of God's unmerited favor of life. Same question. How did you know, husbands, did you know treating your wives thusly is giving a praise to God? If you're like me, the answer is, I didn't know that. But now that we know, it should change the way we view our role as husbands. It will change. And we'll realize that once we start allowing our lives to give praise to God, it will change the way our wives see us. And something else happens. It says, realizing that you are joint heirs of the grace of God's unmerited favor of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off. See, sometimes some of us were wondering why our prayers aren't being answered. We're not treating our wives properly. We're not living our lives as a praise to God. We're not understanding that we're joint heirs. We have the Jackie Gleason syndrome. We think we're king of the castle. You know, there's one term, I don't know where it came from, but it kind of, well, I don't want to use that word. I'll just say I don't like it. Man cave. I'm like, where did this come from? All of a sudden, every time I look at him, man cave, man cave. Okay, fine, you're going to have a man cave, and that's all that's going to be in there. Okay. That man cave is never going to be home. That man cave is never going to be family. It's going to be a man cave. And you're going to be the only man in it. I wonder, I'm like, where did this come from? Who invented this? I want to meet him and pray for him. But we have to have, we have to, it, as a head of household, you want your prayers answered. You don't want your prayers hindered. And by not allowing my life and my actions towards my wife to be a praise to God, I am actually hindering my prayer life. Folks, we have to start looking at these. That's why we have to change the way we think. Right? Finally, all of you, that's husband and wife, should be of one and the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren, of one household, compassionate and courteous, tender-hearted and humble. Not at each other. To getting, being at each other and always arguing and bickering, that's not living a praise, a life of praise to God. But when you're humble and compassionate and courteous and tender-hearted, I'm telling you, folks, that the world is looking for that. That's why they have so many artificial sources. They are so... Understand this about the world. Because I used to wonder why people would do, you know, such quote-unquote despicable things, forgetting, of course, that I one time did those despicable things. But I used to wonder why people would do that. And they're so desperate for that godly type of relationship, they'll be satisfied with a counterfeit, even if it is just for one night. They'll put all sorts of ingredients in their bodies just so they can feel good for 2 hours, just so they can forget. And we have the answer. And they're not hearing the answer because they are too busy watching the way we live. That's what struck me when God gave me that scripture. That's why our lives have to be a praise, a demonstration of all that God has done for us, because that's the drawing card for the Gentiles to come in. That's what's going to pull them in. They have to see the love. How many, you know, one of the reasons these big screen TVs sell so well, especially now they're getting with 3D, and because when you sit down and watch it, you feel like you're in the program, feel like you're right there. Well, I believe that's the way God wants our living praise to be. So that when an unbeliever sees it, they feel like they're right there. And they just want to stay there. And they'll do anything to find out how they can get in and stay in. I mean, years ago, people used to, you know, when back in the real olden days, okay, right, that's when our parents, one of those were real. But they would go, and they would go to the local store and stand in front of the window and watch television, because folks couldn't, you know, a television set wasn't a priority. They'd rather have food and shoes and, you know, things like that. So they would get up and they'd go down to the store, and they'd all stand in front of the window, and they'd watch television. And it'd be raining, snowing, what they're there in the window because they want to watch television. Well, that's the way God wants people to feel about having a life in Him. They need to want, He wants a people that will have that kind of draw that other folks will just, they'll just have to come. They don't care what they have to go through. They just want to come. They can just be here with us. Just be here. And learn how to become one of us. And God has made it so simple. Let our lives be a living praise to Him. When I read that, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Because when I live like that, when I treat my wife like that, I'm saying that I am glad that God is God and that He gave her to me. I'm saying I believe without reservation that she's the one. I'm saying thank you, God, that we're both part of Your kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. And that we are loyal to You. That's what we're saying when we live our lives like that. It's as much a praise is when we open up our mouths and scream and break out in the Holy Ghost dance and run around all over the place. It's just as much a praise, but in some instances, it's more effective. Because folks are seeing a genuine love. They're not getting pulled into an excitement. I think I have time to... Yeah, I have time to do this. Verse 9 says, never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Never. When it says never, it means there's absolutely no way you could justify doing it. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Never return insult for insult. We call it never go tit for tat with anyone. Well, a humble person doesn't do that. A submissive person doesn't do that. A person who's dedicated their lives to be a praise to God doesn't do that. Okay. Verse 10, for let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, or deceit. Folks, when we act like that, it represents the praise of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation who displays the virtues and perfections of the one who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's why Titus 2 says, in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern and model of good deeds and works. All things. Because that's a visible form of praise. And when we adopt it, Jesus does just what he says. He prunes us so we can do it even better. But we have to realize that if we don't do it, we're not bearing fruit. And he said, any branch in me, any branch that doesn't bear fruit will be cut off. We're never going to be cut off. Because we're going to choose to bear fruit. And we're going to do that by letting our lives be a living praise to God. I'm done. Father, we just thank you and we give you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. Lord, we thank you. You always have a way of making things so simple. So simple. And we thank you for just uncovering this truth to us. Because, Lord, we just didn't know. But now we do know. And now, because we know, when we leave this place, we're going to let your love flow. We're going to make sure that our lives become living praises of you. We're going to freely be demonstrative of the truth that you called us out of darkness, brought us over into your marvelous light. And now we are your chosen generation, your peculiar people, and we're going to show forth your praise for the rest of our days. Thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name.